Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Stephen A. Smith reacting to the Luka Doncic trade. Nice to have you with us here this morning at Sunday Mass. Reverend Arcand, your phone number is 617-779-7937. We got room for you here. The spot to react to a seismic move in the NBA. A move that maybe doesn't have direct ramifications for the Celtics on its face. Although, that is who they beat in the finals last year. It was that Dallas Mavericks team. If you missed it, or if you're just waking up and haven't heard yet, the Dallas Mavericks have traded Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers. A trade that I didn't think was a real trade. I thought that Shams got hacked. A lot of people did. I saw the alert go on over the ESPN app. As I said earlier on in the show, my young son is going through a sleep regression, so I was up and awake and very alert when all this was going on. I saw the ESPN alert. I tapped on it. Didn't take me to a story. I thought, oh, this can't be right. Maybe there was some sort of ESPN got hacked or something. You know, like that's what I was thinking. Shams, I go and read his Twitter. I see the thing. There's no way they did not do this. There is no way the Mavericks did this. What I still can't get over, the part of this that has me the most twisted up, Jacob, is the fact that there was not even a rumor. Not one. You know how like when a big, crazy, wild thing happens in sports, there's always one prayer, like with this Justin Tucker thing right now. All right, this Justin Tucker at the massage parlor thing, you're going back and you're finding like old tweets from 2015 about people saying, hey, just heard Justin Tucker's banned from the massage parlor, whatever, like, you know, stuff like that. I'm not hearing a single thing. I haven't seen one tweet. I haven't seen anything that suggested or even hinted at the idea that Dallas was looking to trade Luka Doncic. I've seen that maybe they were frustrated with him, that the conditioning was a problem, that the injuries were a problem. Certainly this year, he's missed a bunch of time with that calf strain. The rumors and reporting is that he'd been ballooning up to about 200 in the high 260s, approaching 270, which, listen, I mean, I love Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce had a couple of fat years. There was a couple of years where Paul was not in the best shape. We all remember them. And he was still a great player. I mean, he was still able to go out there and throw his weight around, no pun intended. Still a great shooter, still a great offensive mind. Luka Doncic at age 25 has been one of, if not the most exciting, as Stephen A. said, international superstars in the league. I mean, he's on a short list. Luke is on a short list with Jokic, with Giannis, with Tatum, with LeBron. Curry, international guys. And a lot of those guys I just mentioned, they're phasing themselves out of the league. Kawhi Leonard, you know, LeBron, Curry, etc. The entire, all five starters in the Western All-Star team, basically, all these old guys. You know, they're phasing out. They're eventually going, this is going to be the end of that generation, which, great generation, great NBA generation, for sure. But Luka's part of the new guard. Luka's on that list with, you know, Tatum and Giannis and these other guys. And guys like that in this era, when they're eligible for a Supermax, which he's not anymore now. Now that he's been traded, now that he's going to a new team, he can't get the Supermax anymore, I think I just read on Twitter. So that's interesting. But he's still going to get paid an exorbitant amount of money from the Lakers. They'll make it up to him. They'll make it work. They'll make it worth his while. That's for sure. But for the Lakers to be approached by Dallas and Luka's people, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It seems like this is almost too good to be true for them. If you're the Lakers, if you're a Lakers fan, even if you liked Anthony Davis, you've got to be thinking, wow, we just hit the lottery. And when something's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. You know, like when you think about it, wow, all we had to do was give up a first-round pick and Anthony Davis, and that's it, and we get Luka Doncic for the next decade? Sometimes things just work out, you know? I mean, with the Lakers in particular, sometimes things just work out. Sometimes you just get something handed to you on a silver platter. The Celtics certainly did when Kevin Garnett got made available and you were able to get him for, if we remember, Sebastian Telfair and Ryan Gomes and Al Jefferson and all those guys. Like, come on. It was pretty, that one fell right into your lap. So Celtics fans shouldn't be shocked by this too much. Did something similar happen with you? Although, you didn't get a 25-year-old. You got a 33-year-old, whatever it was. How old was Garnett in 2008? He was in his 30s, I know that. As was Pierce, as was Allen. A 25-year-old moving like this? With this kind of resume? With a NBA Finals appearance not 6 months ago? I mean, like, it's remarkable. It's really remarkable. I can't imagine being a Dallas Mavericks fan right now. Jacob, you said Mavericks fans are happy about this? Mavericks fans are excited about their center depth now?
I saw like one or two, but probably not that many more.
I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine being like a kid, being a kid in Dallas. Luke has been the center of the basketball universe there since he got there. And they've tried different things with him. They had Brunson there with him. They had Porzingis there with him. You know, it wasn't really working out all that great. They team him up with Kyrie, which I thought was going to work out even less than that. And somehow that ends up being the best match. And they take it all the way to the NBA Finals, where they were no match for the Celtics, of course. But you would think that would be a check mark in the favor of, yeah, you know, Luka's a little out of shape, but we got to ride this thing out. We got to, at the very least, see this thing through. And instead they trade him in February of that next season? While he's injured. Whew. I mean, that's unbelievable. People are tagged. What's another trade you can compare to this? I'm thinking in the NFL, one of the few I could think, like there was the Herschel Walker trade, which was mostly draft picks and stuff like that. It was a crazy lopsided trade. I don't know if this one's even that lopsided because Anthony Davis is a top 15 player too. I would think in the NFL, like I said this earlier, Champ Bailey got traded for Clinton Portis. Remember Washington and Denver, they made that trade? And Portis was a top running back, and Bailey was a top defensive back. And, you know, it was in the 2000s, so people didn't really look at, I don't know. I think that's probably as close as I can think of right now. Top players. But even that pales in comparison to this. Doncic is an MVP candidate every single year. This is going to leave shockwaves. It really is. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to your phone. Steve is in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
Talk show callers don't age out like NBA players do.
No, they don't. They
just
do not.
Keep going and going and going.
That's right.
Like two Babe Ruth careers stacked on top of each other, some of these guys. Anyway, 600, 700 home runs, and then another 700 home runs, then another, and another.
Well,
anyway.
Boston Braves Babe Ruth wasn't hitting too many home runs. He was sick with the tuberculosis or whatever it was, but yeah.
So I've heard you talk about the Bruins, and I'm going to work my way backwards.
Okay.
You've been you were freaking out about the first two games against Florida.
I sure was.
Because you saw that as a barometer. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Now go back to Florida, the series against Florida. I watched it, and that's when I watched the playoffs, by the way. I'm aware of everything that's going on, and I watched the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Florida had a group of top-tier players that was in total greater than we had. But I don't think the narrative that was said at the end was, they were outclassed this up. They could have beaten Florida. They were getting championship goaltending from Jeremy Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few instances where their players, Pasternak being the one, I love the guy, but there was a few instances where he and a few other guys had some chances to turn these close games around and win games they maybe didn't have a business winning.
Yeah, maybe, but Steve, another thing, and just real quick, another thing that happened there is David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand got beat up by the Panthers. I mean, that was a big part of it. They got knocked around, taken out of these games. They did, but they wanted to go into the offseason and get bigger and tougher.
They had a few. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that narrative that they could not have won that series was incorrect. They had a few chances. I'm like, oh, my God, we needed that. And I'm talking about breakaway. I'm talking about clear-cut, bona fide chances that needed to be put in the net that didn't get put in the net. And the other guys were putting it in the net. The top players for Florida, when they had their chances, were burying it.
Okay.
Now this year, you're not going out of the – you're not going to blow this team up from what you had at the end of last year. I get things have happened. They didn't do what they wanted. They had a lousy start. They had a problem with the goalie. But you got 30 games left. There's no way you start to take away trading Pastrnak, for God's sake, or blowing the whole thing up and starting around. I think they're going to try to buttress this team and make a run at the playoffs, which is what they should do.
No, that's what they always do. That's what Sweeney always does. You got one thing on the trade, Steve? We got to take a break. So what else you got?
That's what they should. No, that's what they should do.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Steve going on and on there. He had something on the NBA trade too, but we don't have enough time. They've buttressed the team the last 3 years. And this time they're not, you know, like that. When they have a good team, they're good at going out there and bringing in reinforcements and trying to hold everybody else off. When they have a bad team and not a lot of trade capital to work with, which they don't have, I'm sorry, they don't have a lot of first-round picks. They don't have a lot of good young talent. They don't have a lot of guys coming up through the system that other teams are going to look at and say, yeah, give me some of that. I'll give you one of our good players. It's, you know, I mean, it's kind of iffy right now. So they'll try. I mean, Sweeney's going to try, especially if they do well in these last three games here. If they win at least one of those Minnesota-Vegas games, I assume they'll beat the Rangers again, but if they win at least one of that Minnesota or Vegas, those two games, then you'll probably see them go out and add. You'll probably see Neely give the okay and the Jacobs say, yeah, fine. But more than anything, we just want to make the playoffs, which is true, and they'll go out and do that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, I have some thoughts. That is the 10-year anniversary of Malcolm Butler picking off Russell Wilson. We'll get to that. We'll get to more of your phone calls on the Luka Doncic trade as well. It's all coming up next here on...
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. and the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Sunday Mass.
Happy Malcolm Butler Day if you celebrate. It's Christian Arkin, WEEI, Reverend Arkin, Sunday Mass. Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original, broadcasting live here in Boston, down the Cape, Worcester, Springfield, Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire. If I missed anybody, I apologize. Oh, and Rhode Island, of course, our good friends down in Providence. A lot of whom have checked in today. I appreciate that, for sure. I want to go over some things here with the 10-year anniversary of Malcolm Butler. And some media that I remember from that day. Also, we're continuing more reports starting to come out now about the Luka Doncic trade. According to Mark Stein, Luka did not make a request to be traded, but CBS Sports NBA insider Bill Reiter, R-E-I-T-E-R, Reiter, Reiter, reports that Luka was not planning to stay with Dallas as his contract ended in 2026. Interesting. I saw Chris Curtis about an hour ago tweet that this is all about failing ratings in the NBA. I don't think that's a bad theory. I don't. Getting a young superstar in LA is generally a good idea when you're trying to boost interest and things like that. I will just say this: LeBron James was already in LA. You know, it's not like they didn't have star power there. It's not like the Lakers were some failing team. Like, I remember when the Lakers had Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. You remember those years? Like, they, when they would just, you know, pluck old MVPs and try and bring them over and see if it would they could recapture some magic together out in LA, and it never worked. I mean, it was always a disaster when they were sort of transitioning out of the Kobe years and trying to find what that next thing was going to be. Then LeBron goes and gets himself traded out there, and I think that was, for the time anyway, and definitely during COVID and in the COVID years, good for ratings. LeBron being in LA was a good thing. I don't know if that's run its course or what. The Bronny thing maybe has got people a little disillusioned with it now, because it doesn't seem like the Lakers really care about competing as much as they care about LeBron getting to do his make-a-wish crap with his son. You know, I kind of get that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it was a ratings thing. Could be. Certainly could be. Your New York Knicks are loaded, so they're trying to take care of all these fan bases. Dallas is a big fan base. Dallas is the fourth biggest media market in the country. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they're plucking guys out of Oklahoma City and sticking them on the Lakers. You know, it's not like Durant leaving OKC to go play with the Warriors. Bay Area, you know, California, that media market. Like, I do understand the politics of these markets and having star players. And, you know, the Lakers always getting whoever they want. I mean, it always goes down like this with them, doesn't it? Doesn't matter who it is. They always get them. They get Shaq, they get Gasol, they get, you know, it's just they all go to the Lakers. And now Luka too. But this wasn't the same way guys usually go to the Lakers. You know, this wasn't, right? They didn't shoot their way out of town. Seems like he ate his way out of town. And we'll see what happens here. When Luka comes back from his calf strain, what he looks like, how him and LeBron managed to coexist. Everybody was surprised by this. Everyone. Including the players involved, if you believe them. No one was expecting that this trade was going to happen. And here we are. That being said, Yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of Super Bowl 49, Malcolm Butler. Which, when you talk about the second dynasty, Brady and Belichick and the second dynasty in the 2010s, I feel like in some ways, 2016 really dominated that whole, that because of the comeback. That became sort of the one that people reference when they talk about the second dynasty. Well, you know, that comeback against Atlanta, that's really when Brady was the greatest. And it's like, I don't think so. I think the Butler game was. I think that was considerably more impactful and more important. It wasn't as big of a comeback. I mean, the comeback's never, that's the biggest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. And a remarkable moment in pro sports. But in terms of the Patriots, they hadn't won anything since 2004. They were still very good, but they were not the Patriots. You know, like they weren't, they didn't still have that same kind of mystique anymore. 10 years of coming up short, and for them, that's what it was. I mean, you know, they had the 2007 team, which I think a lot of people assume that was it. All right, well, you know, that once they got beat by the Giants, that ended the magic. You know, the Brady, the Patriot way, that was all in the crapper. Not to mention there was another scandal. Not to mention they lost to the Giants again in 2011. They lost to the Giants twice. They lost to Mark Sanchez and the Jets. They lost to Peyton Manning. You know, that was so tough to conceive of, although they did beat him in 2006, too, in fairness. It's easy to forget this, but for those years, even though the Patriots were still competitive, people had kind of written them off as champions. You know, people had kind of written them off as a team that was able to continue to win. And then, well, and they went out and got Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner and shored up that defense, and bam, one of the greatest plays in the history of the Super Bowl, which you just heard right there, which brought them back, which kicked off the second part of that dynasty. That's what separates Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and that team. That's what separates those two from the Joe Montanas of the world and the Terry Bradshaws and, you know, like that, even Bill Watt, like that. That's, you can't have the second part of that dynasty without that Super Bowl and the way that Super Bowl ended with Belichick, with Brady going bananas in that fourth quarter. And then Belichick, in a perfect sort of symbiotic way, you know, I know there's the whole thing going on with Vice and Ted Johnson and Mad Dog Russo talking about who's more responsible for the dynasty, Bill or Brady. I think that game, more than any other game, more than any other Super Bowl that they both played in, or that they both, you know, were a part of, that game in that fourth quarter really, really made a strong argument for the weakest possible answer, an answer that I hate, which is both. Oh, they both were. Oh, come on, you got to give it to both of them, Arcan. Like, shut up. No, you don't. This is talk radio. You got to make a point. You got to make a decision. You can't just be like, can it be both? Like the Miller Lite commercials with Luke Wilson. Come on, guys. Can it be both? No, it can't. It cannot. But in that game, it was. In that game, it was. It really was. Brady going crazy at the end of the game. Belichick with the three Malcolm go, which I know Patricia took credit for, but let's be honest here. You know, Patricia didn't do anything. Bill didn't tell him to. One of the great games ever, and one of the most shocking endings to a Super Bowl that I can remember. That and Dyson reaching out against the Rams in 1999. Those are the two endings that I will never be able to forget how just insane it was. To see games end like that. And ending a game on a game-winning field goal wasn't as dramatic as ending it on an interception on the goal line. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's something special. That was a really, really special one. And it was fun. And by the way, I tweeted this out yesterday just to give you an idea of what the dialogue was like around the Patriots and also around the Seahawks at the time, because you remember, the Seahawks would have been repeat champions if they had got the Legion of Boom, Russell Wilson. They were scary. They were a scary team. They beat the Patriots in 2012. And in the regular season, that was the UMad Bro game. And that sort of came to a head in the pregame show. On NFL Network in the pregame show, it was Sterling Sharp, Sean Alexander, Brian Billick, and I think Michael Strahan. And they went down all the position groups between the Seahawks and the Patriots, and they said, who has the edge at quarterback? And all four of them voted for Seattle. All four of them said Russell Wilson had the edged quarterback over Tom Brady in 2014. Isn't that wild? I guess technically it was 2015, but, you know, in the 2014 season. And, again, Wilson was a star on the rise. Brady was not, but he did have three Super Bowls and two other Super Bowl appearances. And listen, I'm not even shocked that a couple of them picked Wilson, but all four, it was unanimous. Come on. I mean, come on. Anyway, just wanted to remember some moments from that game, as I can't believe it's been 10 years. It doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, but man, it certainly has. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a minute. I know a lot of you want to chime in on the Luka Doncic trade. Let's go to the phones, actually, right now. Chuck is up in, or down in New London. What's going on, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm a little older than your average listener, but I hearken back to the Brad Park for Phil Esposito trade. Two guys in their prime, all-stars, big cities, New York and Boston. Broke my heart. I was a Rangers fan. And there were some other guys, Jean Rattel and other people involved. But the swapping of those two all-stars was big.
Yeah, that's a good one, Chuck. Thanks for the call. I think in the NHL, there's been more examples of these kind of high-profile trades. Player-for-player type trade. Like, in the NFL, it's usually players for draft picks, right? Like, that's usually what these trades are. In the NBA, it's getting contracts to line up, and it's very rarely superstar for superstar. This is the first time in NBA history that two reigning all-NBA players got traded for each other the next season. That's the first time that's ever happened. Like, that's kind of wild. Baseball, there's, you know, with baseball trades, it's prospects, you know, young players, things like that. Teams selling off pieces. Rare that you get big name for big name. But in terms of letting go of a superstar in its prime, I'd put this up there with the Mookie Betts trade. I think that Dallas is getting a much better return than the Red Sox did, but I'd say that in terms of what they're giving up, it's right up there with it. I think that there's also, as Jacob said, the Wayne Gretzky trade is a good one. Esposito right there. In the NBA, there's been lots of movement of recent MVP. James Harden got traded. Davis got traded before. Kevin Durant has been traded multiple times. Like, it's not super rare to see stars like that move. It is rare to see them move at 25, and it's rare to see them traded away from the team that drafted them and has been for 5-6 years trying to build a team around them, centered around them, and then to just move on from that and have that be over. Oh my God. Seismic. I mean, really, I keep coming back to that word, but that's what it is. It's seismic. A seismic trade throughout the NBA, throughout sports. With that being said, there is a Super Bowl coming up here, a new Super Bowl. I could talk about the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl all day. But the Chiefs and the Eagles are playing again. And Mahomes looking to three-peat. And Jalen Hurts looking to be a multi-Super Bowl winner. And I was thinking about that. Jalen Hurts, like, I don't think they're going to win. I'm pretty well backing the Chiefs here. I think that they've got this one locked up in many ways. I don't think the Eagles are going to be able to beat them. But if they do, then Jalen Hurts is going to be on a list with Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, John Elway, Eli Manning, Jim Plunkett, Bob Greasy, Roger Staubach, and Bart Starr as two-time Super Bowl champions. Montana won four, Bradshaw. There's other, you know, examples, and Mahomes has the three, but...
Arcand, I hate to burst your bubble, but Jalen Hurts hasn't won a Super Bowl yet.
Jalen Hurts is not... Oh, you're right. Yeah, he was in the Super Bowl, but he didn't win it. Never mind. All right, sorry. I was thinking about the Eagles. I was thinking about the wrong year. So Jalen Hurts, not going to join that list, but Jalen Hurts winning a Super Bowl after having been the one is going to put him in a different conversation. You're right. He won't be a multi-Super Bowl winner. I apologize for that. It's early in the morning. I'm still getting used to the time slot. So apologies there. I don't know why I wrote all that. I wrote all that in my email, too. I was like, yeah, two-time Super Bowl champion, Jalen Hurts. Definitely not. Apologies there. Apologies all around. But him winning a Super Bowl,
the Eagles being two-time champions in the last 7 years with three appearances, that does change the conversation about the Eagles, doesn't it? They're not the Chiefs, and they're not going to be the Patriots or anything like that, but they are establishing something there, and they're doing it in a way that I think the Patriots should be emulating. The Patriots should emulate the way the Eagles are building their team. Now, I think they've already gotten a better quarterback than the Eagles have. Jalen Hurts, I was sort of, the point I was making there is this guy good enough to be in those conversations? As a one-off, sure. I mean, Jalen Hurts wouldn't be the worst quarterback to be a one-off champion, but he might be the worst guy on that list I just gave you if he wins another one. He's got to win the first one, obviously. It was Nick Foles who ended up winning that Super Bowl with the Eagles in the 2017 Super Bowl, which prevented the Patriots from three-peating, by the way. But if the Eagles are able to take home a second with a third appearance wedged in between there, then you can, at the very least, make the argument that having the best quarterback and the best head coach isn't necessarily what it takes to win anymore, because they don't have either one of those things. And they didn't in 2017 either. Nick Foles wasn't the best quarterback, and Doug Peterson wasn't the best head coach. Sirianni and Hurts made it to another Super Bowl 2 years ago. They didn't win it. Duh. They made it there. They make it again and win one. Then they'll have two Super Bowls in the last 7 years, and neither time did they have the best quarterback or the best head coach. I think that should be inspiring to a team like the Patriots. That's something a team like the Patriots should be able to, or a lot of other teams too, not just them. But they should look at Howie Roseman, and they should look at that front office, and they should look at those people involved over there and say, you know, you guys give us hope. You give us hope that even without hitting the lottery, hitting the Patrick Mahomes lottery or the Tom Brady lottery or whoever, Ben Roethlisberger, whoever you want to mention, this multi-year Super Bowl winner, John Elway, even without that, you can still do it. And not just do it, you can do it more than once. With different guys at both heads of the snake there. New quarterback, new head coach. Neither one of them considered top of their game, and they're winning Super Bowls. That should be very inspiring to a team like the Patriots. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back to your phone calls and wrap things up next before we hand it over to Dan Ball, who is going to have you from 11 until, I think, 1 o'clock. Is that right? And then we got KJ and Lions. Or no, 11 to 2. We got 3 hours of Dan Ball coming your way. KJ and Lions later on in the afternoon. Lots of reaction and fallout, of course, to this major trade in the NBA. And more. It's coming up next. I still can't get over that last part. A few more minutes left here. It's Christian Arcan, Reverend Arcan, Sunday Mass. Dan Ball's coming in here in about 10 minutes. I'm sure he's got lots to say about this trade. The biggest trade in NBA history, I think. On paper, anyway. We'll see if it actually ends up being as impactful as some of the other ones. We heard Kareem, Bill Russell, the Bill Russell trade, which he was traded right after he got drafted by St. Louis. They traded Ezeed McCauley and a couple other guys to get the rights to Bill Russell. They had also traded or drafted Casey Jones and Tommy Heinsohn in the provincial draft that year. Heinsohn, provincial. Casey Jones was Russell's teammate. And that ended up being one of the most impactful, I'd say, series of moves in NBA history. But just in terms of a one-off trade, and I know it's a three-team deal here, obviously, Utah getting involved, Danny Ainge like, hey, guys, you need anything from me? Anybody need a second-round pick or anything like that? In case you missed it, I'll just give it to you one more time here. The Dallas Mavericks moving on from Luka Doncic. It's a three-team deal, which will have the Lakers getting Luka, Maxi Kleber, Markieff Morris. Dallas gets Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and the Lakers' 2029 first-round pick. That is such a bad return. Oh, that is such a bad return. I'm sorry. I don't care if Luka doesn't play any defense. I don't care if he's 300 pounds. That is a bad return. The Jazz will receive Jalen Hood-Scafino, the Clippers' 2025 second, and the Mavericks' 2025 second-round pick. Mavericks GM Nico Harrison said, I believe the defense wins championships. What a shot. I believe that getting an all-defensive center and an all-NBA player with a defensive mindset gives us a better chance, i.e. a better chance than we had with Luka Doncic.
We're built to win now, or we're built to win in the future. Sure you are, Nico. Sure you are, buddy. Oh, man. I can't get over this. Let's go to the phones here. We only have a lot of time left. 617-779-7937. Ed is in Westerly, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, actually, Wellesley, Mass.
Oh, Wellesley. I thought it said Westerly. Excuse me. Go ahead, Ed.
No, that's okay. Hey, before I start, Christian, great job on your new spots. I think you're doing really well.
Well, thank you, Ed. That's nice of you to say. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No, I mean that. I really do. So, first off, as I said to our 14-year-old son today, if Luca's 25, then I'm 12 years old. Like he looks nowhere near. He looks way older than 25, doesn't he?
I'd say so. He definitely, when he first came into the league, he definitely looked like a kid. So he doesn't look like that anymore, I'll agree. And he is big and out of shape and all that's true. But, yeah, I don't think he's lying about his age, if that's what you're saying. I don't think he's, you know, like Alfonso Soriano or something.
No, he just looks – I think that's the factors you just mentioned that makes him look older than he is. But it seems clear to me, if one were to speculate I think the Mavericks were done with him. I think they said, we can't deal with this guy. I don't think they must have felt that he wasn't going to do the things they wanted him to do to get him to the place that they want him to be. And so they shipped him out. But it is, but I mean, it goes down as one of the most bizarre trades ever because you just don't see it. And I bet, be curious to get your read on this, I bet because Anthony Davis is 31, Kyrie's 32, I mean, 3 or 4 years from now, people are going to be saying, okay, the Mavericks aren't a factor anymore. What happened? Well, you can go back to, you know, whatever today is, February 2nd, and you'll see, and that'll tell you exactly what happened. So, anyhow, thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks for checking in there, Ed. It is February 2nd indeed. It's Groundhog Day. Happy Groundhog Day, everybody. Happy Groundhog Day, or Ned Ryerson Day, if you prefer. I have bad news. And that is that Punxsutawney Phil did see his shadow, and that means 6 more weeks of winter. Can I also say this, though? I kind of like this winter. I'm kind of liking this winter. It snowed a bunch. I'm happy about that. I hate when it's winter and it doesn't snow at all. I think that sucks. Especially when it's just like rainy and foggy for 3 months. Like, who needs that? I enjoy the snow. And I think this has been a nice bounce back winter for the region. I do. It also snowed in like New Orleans. They were skiing down Bourbon Street the other day, I saw. It's snowing in Florida, like that's a little weird, but whatever. It's snowing up here, and I like that it's snowing up here. So I'm okay with this. I'm saying that now. In 6 weeks, I'm probably going to be like, this sucks. But as for right now, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, and I'm okay with that. I also saw that PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, you're familiar with them, of course, they're trying to retire Punxsutawney Phil, and instead have there be a weather reveal cake where you cut into the cake and then, you know, depending on what color it is, that tells you if it's going to be summer or winter, which, first of all, is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Second of all, is Punxsutawney Phil not treated ethically? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the ethical treatment of animals. Doesn't Punxsutawney Phil have, like, a pretty sweet life? Isn't he, you know, he just kind of breeds. I just read in the paper. I just swear to God, I read this
in the
paper. He's
going to be a father.
He just had 2 kids, yeah. Punxsutawney Phil's a dad now. Him and his wife had his groundhog wife had 2 children, which congratulations to the Punxsutawney family. But I feel like he's got a pretty sweet gig going on right now. There's a hotel in, I want to say it's in Arkansas. What's the name of the place? I forget where it is, but there's this hotel somewhere down in the south where these ducks all walk into the fountain in the middle of the lobby, and every single day they bring them in, and they do this little march into the fountain, and everybody stops in the hotel, and they all look, and these ducks get this great treatment. Their life, they live on this like coop up on the roof in climate-controlled area. It's really something. I shouldn't have brought this up here at the end, because now I don't have time to look it up exactly what the name of it is. But it's this famous thing. And I always thought Punxsutawney Phil got that kind of treatment. Like the ducks at the famous hotel. Like, you know, just pampered his whole life. Much better life than any other groundhog out there. And yet PETA is like, no, we got to retire Punxsutawney Phil. I feel like Punxsutawney Phil is what every groundhog aspires to be. To have a life like that. And yet they have a problem with it. These weird PETA people. I don't know.
At any rate, there you go. It's just about all the time I have here now. The biggest trade probably in the history of the NBA, as the Los Angeles Lakers now pivoting away from the LeBron era to the Luka Doncic era, and the Dallas Mavericks moving on from the guy who I thought was going to probably retire in Dallas. I didn't think that there was a chance that he'd go anywhere else. It seemed like that was the type of guy. And, you know, maybe I was thinking about Mark Cuban and acting like he still owned the team. Mark Cuban wouldn't have made this trade. I guarantee you he would have vetoed this thing so hard. No way. You're trading who? For what? For Anthony Davis and a first-round pick in 2029? I don't think so. And the fact that that's all they're getting back for this, the fact that they didn't go through a normal process of putting a guy like Luka out on the auction block and seeing what kind of offers you could get is, well, that's the big mystery of this one so far. No rumors, no nothing. And that's all the time I have here. Jacob Lasner, great job behind the glass. As always, everybody stick around. Dan Ball coming your way next. He will take you up until 2 o'clock. Then it's KJ and Lyons for the duration of the evening. I'm Christian Arcand. You can hear me nights, weeknights at 6 o'clock right here on WEEI. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody. Bye.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And it was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.